You know, as we come to the Word today, I've just flooded with a lot of thoughts and concerns for so many that are here today. You know, we started this series off. I'm actually going to be preaching point number 3 to you today. You know, it's ironic in a way that so often people are in church and involved in church, and you know, you hear the pastor talking about the message, and we always talk about how it is 90% of my message. And as Marley reminds me from week to week, they say, you only spent 10 minutes on this point, 5 minutes here, and you just blew through all that. But I am entertained by the fact that she keeps track and she knows what's going on. I like it that you're all paying attention. I like it that you're taking notes, because it kind of gives me an idea that I just spent the whole week for nothing when you just hear, yeah, whatever, and we go home. That is not our goal here today, is it? As we have been going through this series, we've been talking about the power of God's love over our future. And our first approach was that we looked at simply that the power of God is that worry versus trusting. You know, we were in Matthew and we were seeing the reality is that He loves us, He's concerned for us, He knows every detail of us, and we've seen that He is an omniscient God, He is an omnipotent God, He is omnipresent, and because of all of His character and the power of who He is, He gives us the answer that He's going to provide for us, right? He's going to care for us, and we dug into that. And the care and the comfort that we have is not based upon what we have or what we're able to do, but because of who God is, and that's what we lean on. That's the foundation that our faith rests upon. It's not a I hope, I wish, or well, it might happen. That's not the reality if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is, it's done, and it will be. Right? Because He is faithful. He will finish exactly what He has started, and He will complete it perfectly, without question, without doubt. We, on the other hand, will not. And so we rely upon Him and not ourselves. And so today, it brings us to point number 3, God is near. So in those first 2 points, I'm trying to help you see the value of who you are in God's eyes. Too often we value ourselves in our own eyes as opposed to our value in God's eyes. They're 2 complete different things. If you depend upon emotion or how's my spiritual life, that's how I am and how God feels about me, you are going to exhaust yourself and you're going to live a lie, okay? God doesn't regulate us according to that. He requires faithfulness. He requires obedience. But guess what? He empowers us to do those things. He doesn't just send us out on our own and say, here you go, good luck. That's not how God operates. But He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to grow. Most of all, He wants us to produce fruit, spiritual fruit, that will bring honor and glory to His name. And He's going to provide all that we need to make that happen. Okay? You with me? So our value in His eyes doesn't go up and down according to our performance. He loves you when you're faithful. He loves you when you're rebellious. He loves you constantly. He loves you just as much now today, no matter your situation, as much as He did when He died on the cross for you. It's constant. It's perfect. It's holy. It's consistent when we are not. Amen? That is where our faith lies in. So now, when we're talking about God's attributes, and He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's already there, He will always be there, He's there in the future as He is with you today, He's with us in glory, His children, as He is with us today, He sees it all, He knows it all, He's there, He's present, fully, completely, and totally. So therefore, how do we understand that He is near? You know, we started off with a quote by Warren Wiersbe that I believe is worth repeating. Most Christians are being crucified on a cross between 2 thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worry. Any of you here can testify to that? I don't know about you, but I've hung on that cross too long. Especially when we have a reality is that God is going to change that. Amen? He's come and hung on a cross on a hill called Calvary, on a hill called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and His death more or less give us the opportunity to trust in Him and be removed from that cross of suffering ourselves and live a life of victory. We're not striving to be victorious, but we're living out of victory. Amen? The victory's already done, already secured. It's already been given. And if you're a child of God, you've already received it. Now live in it. Are you with me? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Sometimes I stand here and I try to get you excited about your faith, but I want to ask you a question just the opposite. Why wouldn't you? When you realize and you don't live in your faith, the world and Satan is going to destroy everything that you are and everything that you have. And don't think for a moment in our arrogance of thinking that we're going to sidestep all of the consequences that God has warned us about. Amen? He's true. He's honest. He's faithful. And everything that he says is true and faithful and honest. And everything that he does is true and faithful and honest. And you know whatever covers all of that is that he loves you. Is it possible that he can correct us and change us and guide us and maybe even instruct us, maybe even punish us and still love us? Yes. So with having all that said, I'm asking you this morning, let's draw near, okay? Now some of you are thinking, well, I showed up, I'm here, good enough. No, I'm asking you to go deeper. I'm asking you not to show up physically, I'm asking you to show up in heart, in attitude, and in mind. How is it that we draw near to the Lord? Well, first of all, we draw to the answer of all the worry and all the stresses that we have. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, he says, "Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, we ask for the reading of your word, that your blessing, your spirit will guide us in the understanding of your word, empower us to apply your word, and use us up for your honor and glory. Lord, we're here to honor your name, not our own. We're here to please you, not ourselves. We're here to learn of you, and may you just open our hearts and our minds to know you in a more deeper, in a way that you have designed us to know you. Not in the way that we perceive or not in the way that we think that you want us, but Lord, help us to put aside all of our thoughts and all of our own wishes, and you would communicate to us your heart that we may truly know you. Not of you, but know you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at Philippians, as many of us are familiar with, and hopefully you will use this in times of stress and difficulty, in reminding ourselves that God truly loves us. And as we look at the realities that we are struggling with, the anxieties that we face, we're all with evangelists will try to convince you is that, in fact, one even wrote a book that says, "This is your best life now." Can I assure you, if you're a child of God, glory be to God, this is not your best days. And I don't know how he sold it, but he has. A lot of people have bought it. And I hope they realize that that's not the reality, amen? Because no matter what we do, we face difficulties in life. We're going to face disappointments. We're going to disappoint ourselves, amen? Whew, I thought I was the only one. You saved me there. We disappoint ourselves. How do we escape this? Well, number one, we can't completely escape it until we leave this body. The body that's been cursed by sin, the body that's been cursed by our own sin, and the body that is decaying right before us. And we don't get younger, we don't get brighter, we don't get smarter. All of those things begin to dwindle as age catches up to us. But we are rapidly approaching a day of rejuvenation, a day of renewal, a day of transformation to stand before the Lord in the glorified body that he intended us to have all along. Amen? And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. But you know, when we face those problems, we're faced with those worries, we are reminded that God knows everything that we're going through. Remember last week when we talked about that even every tear the Lord keeps in a bottle? What does he do with that? All of these are descriptions that he doesn't have to keep records because he already knows. He remembers perfectly. Now think of this, every pain, every struggle. Go back the first time that you ever were not invited to the birthday party that you so badly wanted to go to. Are you with me? Nobody else knows how you hurt. In fact, you might even went to mom and dad says, oh, get over it. You didn't need to go to those people's houses anyway. We don't need them. But yeah, you're still brokenhearted as it didn't fix anything, Dad. Nobody else understands that, but God does. Those of you that have lost children before your time, God knows every pain that you have suffered through, when many of us do not. How can we? But God does. So when we look at his ability, we need to turn those worries, turn those cares into a prayer, and then bring it to God who answers those prayers. Amen? He says, be anxious in nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto your neighbor. Let it be known to the deacon. Could, right? Let it know to the local gossip. Let it be made known to God, right? Now, I said all of those things not to deter you from having a prayer partner. I'm not deterring you from picking up the phone or whatever it may be that you contact that one that you pray with. But there are going to be times you're going to realize that they're exhausted all of their answers, and we all must come to a point that we don't know. And so what is the next solution? We need to pray. Now, in all honesty, when we begin to dig into the very character of God, should we bypass those and just go directly to God? I am convinced at times, yes, we do. Because here's what I'm trying to get us to see for just a moment. We are so familiar with each other that we're comfortable with talking with each other. But the problem is, no matter how comfortable we are, we do not have the answers. We do not have all the solutions. We do not have the power or the authority to turn everything around. But God does. But why don't we go to God? Because we're uncomfortable. Be honest, right? We're uncomfortable because, number one, doesn't seem that he's answering my prayer when I want it answered. He doesn't seem to be giving me what I want when I want it. I'm not so sure if he'll even listen to me because I really haven't been faithful lately, or whatever that may be. Are you with me? Charles Spurgeon had a quote. He says, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. The anxieties that rob us of our hope for tomorrow often drag us farther away from the Lord. And so the times and moments that we should be drawing close to Him, we find ourselves repulsed and angry and upset, and sometimes not even knowing what we're angry at anymore. Have you ever harbored a anger or difficulty or disappointment for so long that one day you just stop and think, why am I mad? And you couldn't answer the question? Oh, come on. Some of you got to carry grudges like I do. Am I the only one that carries them around? Lord, why am I mad? And sometimes he was just waiting for me to ask that question with the right attitude. Amen? I'm tired of carrying this. Why am I carrying this? I'm glad you ask. Let's talk. And all the layers of my heart that he peeled back that I didn't even realize had grown so calloused that I was missing all of those times and moments that he was pressing up on my heart, speaking to me quietly, lovingly, gently, and I was ignoring, had no idea. The anxiety that wears upon us drags us down. Why wouldn't we turn to him? Well, first of all, we're facing an enemy, and we have to face that enemy. Amen? In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, as he's speaking to the Pharisees and them there, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now here's something that I was thinking about. Brother Matt Dudley preached a revival over at Faith Baptist in St. Charles, and he began to challenge us in that revival is that no negative comment, no negative feeling, no negative attitude toward ourselves comes from the Lord. And I sat and thought on that. I'm like, I'm not so sure. Really? And so I just kind of went home and was meditating on it, thinking on it. And you know what? He's right. He is right. The negative feelings that we have, let's just talk about conviction of sin. Let's talk about that for a minute. Often we look at the conviction of sin and we think, oh, I blew it. I've messed up. I've gone too far. Can't fix this. What's the point? We'll just blow off the rest of the day. How much worse can it get? Wrong attitude, right? But those negative ideas about sin, then we begin to think, oh, I'm just worthless. I can't do it. I'll never accomplish anything. I can't believe it. I've been struggling with this for so long, and it still won't. It comes from the enemy. Why? Because we're not striving for victory. We're living from victory. And we're going to get into that next week when we get into Easter, okay? We're living from victory. We're not trying to get it. We already have it. So why not live it? Satan convinces us of those lies. Do you realize that everything he says is a lie? A twisting, a distortion. Or as some say, that's the way I see it. That's the way I feel it. That's the way I interpret it. Guess what? There's only one interpretation. If it's true, there's only one. Are you with me? You want biblical authority? John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that to Thomas when Thomas was like, I'm not so sure this is him. I'll believe it when I see it. And when he saw it, he believed it. But he says, Thomas, better are they that believe without seeing. Amen? There's only one truth. And you know what? We have it right here. Oh, it's old-fashioned. I know. Because it's been around longer than you've ever been a thought. Amen? Praise the Lord, it is. This word has been around before the earth was ever created. This word has been around before you and I ever took a breath. This word has been around longer than this planet has been here. And you say, oh, that's old-fashioned. Guess what? This is more of a contemporary than you are. You know why? Because in the pages of this, we have the end and we have the future for all eternity right here. It's not old-fashioned, people. You are. This is not behind the times. You are. Are you with me? How could we ever date an omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent God? How could we ever date him? How could we ever date his word? This is everything that we need. So why not live it? Satan will lie and distort and twist in every way that he can. I'm telling you, do not fall for Satan's lies. Do not allow him to drag you down, use shame to drag you away from other believers to the point that he can get you alone and cause you to be tempted to just give up. Did you know in the last couple of years that we've been dealing with COVID, there has been a rash of alcoholism, drug addictions, and suicides have shot through the roof. Staggering statistics. Why is that? Because we are not designed to be alone. That's exactly what it is. They attempted to close our churches, and I'm going to confess to you, I'm discouraged and frustrated with my own self of how that went down. It all started as a pretense that it's all about health. It's all about everybody else. Now that we get into the science, quote-unquote, sick of Nancy Pelosi thrown at my face. She makes a lot more money than I do, but I'm telling you, it's a game. It's a game. And I don't care what political party it is. They're all ducks in a puddle. And they're all in the middle of it. And anytime they come to a nation and tell you to stop your churches, but you can go down to the local casino and gamble, that's okay. Folks, we've gone off the deep end. In the last 2 years, we have gone off the deep end. And can I tell you, as a pastor and as a human being, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Some of you think, oh, you just don't understand COVID. Oh, baloney. I laid in the hospital for 2 weeks trying to breathe and nearly struggling with it. I know it's real. I know it's real. But when you cut your finger and you get a splinter in it, do you cut your whole hand off? The way that we react and the way that we respond should be balanced with truth. The same way that we're dealing with one another in our communities around us, and the way that we're dealing with one another, the hatred, the evil, the anger, the lashing out that's going on, I'm telling you, that's not of God. But yet you have these popularity figures that get on TV, claim to be a reverend or whatever they may call themselves to be, and they're spewing and encouraging and developing more hate to be shown and exercised. But can I tell you that when you exercise love and it's not based on truth, it's not love. Love rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so now we're being bombarded today as saying that, well, if you just don't accept everything and everything that comes along and lifestyles and whatever attitudes that may come with that, they're saying that, well, you don't love me. Here's the reality is that you are already loved by the Lord Jesus, no matter who and what you are. But yet he loves you enough to give you the truth of who he's made you to be and who that you can be and who that he wants you to be and bless you as. But can I tell you that we're going to love you no matter what? Well, there are simply things that God has set in stone that we must follow and obey ourselves. And it's not hate. I'm under an authority much greater than me. You know, Balaam, stubborn man, so stubborn that an old mule saved his life. You know how we know? The angel told him, you know, you were beating your mule because he wouldn't stay on the path, but you don't realize I was standing there with a sword and I was going to kill you. Donkey saved you. I want you to think about something for a moment. How is it that we get so mixed up that God can use the dumbest thing on the planet to get our attention? We live in lies. You know, when Balaam showed up, the king wanted him to curse Israel. And every time he opened his mouth, it was blessing. Well, let's go to a different location. All right, now curse him here, Balaam. Blessing, blessing. And the king's like, stop, stop. Every time you talk, it's blessing. Balaam tells the king, what else can I do? But what God speaks is what I must speak. Satan's going to convince you that they hate you. In fact, we're at a time and day now that there is no respect for the Lord's church because, number one, it's a challenge to find a true Lord's church. So many have bought into the lies and have given into the lies to the point that you can't even recognize them from the rest of the world around them. They refuse to speak the truth. And folks, if we do the same thing here at Lindsay Lane, we're going to cease to be a church. So how can we think negatively about ourselves when God has loved us so much, sending his son to die for us, sending his son to die on a cross that we might be saved, be transformed, and be renewed? James reminds us, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But then he follows up, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Much of the confusion that we deal with today is because we don't go to the Lord to get clarity. Lord, show me what is the truth in this situation. He'll reveal it. Practice the presence of God. This is something that I'm really feeling pressed upon. A.W. Tozer has written a book, Pursuit of the Holy, I think it is, Pursuit of God, and he really digs deep. Some of these deep-thinking minds challenge us, but here's another quote that has come to mind. Our meditation will become our manifestation. Now, these are some big words that we don't use too much anymore. What does it mean by manifestation? What you are in public, what you say, what you do, and how you do it will be determined by what you meditate upon. Think about that a moment. What you're thinking is what you will do. What you're thinking is what you will be. Are you with me? So often we're searching for the Lord, but yet we're not really searching for him. We're searching for what we want. Oswald Chambers described as this, and he listed as spiritual lust. Is that possible? Spiritual lust? He says, spiritual lust, I must have it at once, causes me to demand an answer from God. Instead of seeking God himself, who gives the answer, is today the third day and he still has not done what I expected? Whenever we insist that God should give us an answer to prayer, we are off track. The purpose of prayer is that we get a hold of God, not the answer. Can we truly fall into spiritual lust? Yes, we can. Folks, there's a battle going on for your mind right now today. You know, the reality is that too often we're distracted by good things, so therefore we neglect what's best. Can you see that? Those of you with a family, homes, so much to do, right? Everything needs to be done. Some things are good things to be done, but yet not quite the best. We were blessed to go to the Easter walk at Bethel Baptist Church in Lonedale, Missouri. And there we were taken by two tour guides, if you will, Mary and Martha. Sound familiar? Boy, we had a lot of fun. That weren't their real names, really. They were playing those characters. And it reminds us of Mary and Martha as they invited Jesus to their home. And as he was in the home, Martha's running around trying to organize and planning and hosting. And Mary decides to sit at the feet of Jesus, was listening to his teaching. Martha get upset. Martha's like, Jesus, don't you care that I'm in here slaving? Now, this is Brian Mead translation, okay? So you can read it. It's in Luke 10, 38 through 42. And she goes, don't you care that I'm doing all this by myself? Tell her to help. And Jesus says that she has chosen that which is best, and that will not be taken from her. Now, I want to ask you something. Was Martha out of line? I think Martha was being a normal human being, don't you? I get tired of doing the job and nobody else helping. Do you? Yeah, we get tired of that. Martha was doing what was right. According to the Mosaic law, when you have someone come to your home, you are to host them. That's what she was doing. But yet Mary chose that which was best. She wanted to be near her Savior. She wanted to know Him. That is what's best. Folks, there are so many things in our world today that they are screaming at us. News, media, advertisement, it's all wrapped around this one ideology to make it loud enough, bright enough, and exciting enough that I can get your attention for about 35, 40 seconds and then go on to something else. And in fact, we have become, psychologists have said that we have even become programmed that we even hunger that rapid processing, that rapid, loud, exciting, everything has to be that way in order for our brains to process that. Why is that? They've been shaping that for a purpose. And they continue to perpetuate that. But here's the problem. When it comes time to come into a worship service, if I'm not up here doing backflips and cartwheels on the stage, you're nodding off and just bored and can't wait to get out of here. Is it a lack of my part? Maybe. Maybe. But what is it? It's our heart. It is our desire to seek the Lord. When you find one that is willing to seek the Lord, they don't care the conditions. Paul and Silas sat in a jail in stocks, beaten, and had a worship service, singing praises to the Lord that affect the entire jail. The attitude of the heart of whether or not we're going to seek the Lord is the foundation of whether or not you come to know Him and enjoy Him, not the situation around you. So stop blaming everything else. It's a lie. It's a lie. Sometimes we use the lie, though I've watched others and, oh, they're religious and they did this and that. It never done them any good. My friend, there is no way possible that you can come into the presence of God and walk away the same. Because if you do, you didn't meet Him. You just found some kind of a religion or some idol you've made up in your own mind. How do we know this? How can I be so arrogant in suggesting this? Every time we see in Scripture those who come into the presence of God, they weren't standing. Isaiah, Ezekiel, John the Revelator, every one of them come into the presence of God, they were flat on their face. God, I can't do this. I can't go. But yet He called them, and you know what? He picked them up. Every one of them, you'll find that for them to stand, God picked them up, and He prepared them for the purpose, and He sent them. Folks, it doesn't change. It's the same today. When you find the Lord Jesus, and you accept Him as your Savior, He changes everything. It's impossible. You know why? The Scripture tells us. 1 John, read the whole book. It's real small. He tells you everything you need to know that you might know that you have eternal life. We need to call upon the one who loves us. We need to call upon the one that loves us. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him. And what? There's no other way, is there? Everybody else says, well, I've got my own way. I got my own thing, got my own arrangement. I hear so many times me and the big guy, which that right there tells me you have no idea who you're talking about. You know, there was a short time that I got that idea as a cocky little teenager. I was going to call my mom and dad my old man and old lady. My dad politely came to me and says, I'm going to give you a word of advice. You can call me your old man if you want. But if you call your mom the old lady, she will beat you. And I'll have to come home and find you crying. You know, as cocky teenagers, we don't think through things, you know. And I'm like, okay, so I can call you old man? Sure, if that's what you think is right. He had to stick that in there. So I didn't even approach mom. I knew she'd kill me, so I tried on dad for a while. But you know what? The Lord convicted my heart so much. You know, I would say it, and immediately my heart was like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? And one evening, I was just sitting and praying, and I was actually preparing to give a devotional on Wednesday night. And, you know, when you're digging in the Word, the Lord's just not going to leave you alone. And he said, do you really want to call your dad that? I think it's kind of cool. He says, do you really love him? Yeah, I do. He says, stop degrading him. You're right, Lord. That's dumb. So I came back to dad and I said, Dad, I can't do it. And he goes, can't do what? Can't call you my old man. And he goes, why is that? He said, I love you. And it sounds insulting. And he goes, I'm glad you came to that because you're right. Folks, when we come to the Father, we come upon His truth. We come based upon His Word. We come based upon His plan and His purpose. We play by His rules. Amen? We need to find rest. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. You feel Him? Is He with you today? Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Right hand. How do we find rest in Him? I borrowed an illustration, if you will, someone shared with me, and some of you were thinking, well, why do you have water laying up there? I said, well, I'm going to show you right now. I'm a messy pourer, by the way. How much do you think this is? What's that? 12 ounces. Close. Getting better. At least, probably 28. This cup holds about 30 ounces. Is that a lot of water? At times, right? Hot summer day, cutting grass, is that a lot of water? Nah, I'll probably need two of those. How about you? What if I stand here and I hold this up for 5 minutes? Gonna get tired, isn't it? What if I stand here and hold this for the entire day, 24 hours? There you go. My arm's gonna be hurting, my neck's gonna be sore because I'm gonna be, and my back might even be sore because I'm like, oh man, I can't. You're gonna be finding a place to keep that up, right? Did the amount change? What changed? The amount of time. It's the same 28 ounces, but it's the amount of time that I'm trying to hold it up. My arm's already getting tired, so I don't know. Did you time that, Marley? Time everything else. I'm teasing. It doesn't take long to get tired, does it? The stresses that you carry on a daily basis. Sometimes you think that, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I've done that before. But then days go by, weeks go by, months go by. It tells us to come on a daily basis, lay our burdens at His feet. Be anxious in nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God with thankfulness. How do I do that? You take the load, you put it down, and say, God, I'm tired of carrying this. He says, child, take a break. Rest in me. Know that I'm omniscient. I know all things. I already know. I know your shoulder's hurting. In fact, it's hurting in places that you don't know. It's hurting back here too, and it's pulling on this. And he knows everything. And he says, I know it gets heavy, but you know what? You're going to have to bear this just a little longer because I want you to spend some more time with me. I want you to come, and I want you to find me, not just to be relieved of this. I want you to come and find me. You ever have a dog that's active? A little hyper? Shane and Amy's, their dog is not hyper. He's just the big oaf. He just likes to lay. Your dog's hyper, isn't it, Stan? You ever go and visit the Shells, their dog is very hyper. It stands this tall, and when you walk in the door, he jumps this high. It's amazing. How do you train a dog like that? You take him for a walk. Take him for a long walk. Take him to the park and let him run and throw a ball and throw a ball and throw a ball. Oh, he's just panting and comes back. He'll do anything you want. You get the energy out of him. so that they can focus. Folks, we're much the same way. We get so consumed in the lies. We get so consumed in the activity. We get so consumed with all the exciting things that are coming in our brains and going in, going out, and really never accomplishing anything, but yet get even more difficult. Then we wonder, why am I so stressed? Because you're never putting it down. You're never putting it down. I want to give you a few final thoughts. I want you to contemplate for just a moment. Are you practicing laying down your burdens and your worries before the feet of Jesus? How do we do this? You bring it to Him. Some of you might be thinking, well, I would, but I just feel so guilty, and I haven't been doing this, I haven't been doing that. That's Satan again trying to keep you from doing what you need to do and what must be done. Some of you might be thinking, well, I've already got this figured out. I know what I want to do, and I know where I'm going. But yet, if you're going to go without God, you're not going to make it. As a child of God, you will not make it. And that's not hyperbole. That's the Scriptures. But He says, I want you to just come spend some time. Put it down. Have you ever thought of just telling the Lord, Lord, if I fail, it's on You. It's Your fault. But I'm going to trust You. But if we succeed, I'm going to praise You because it's Your fault too. Are you with me? Oh, so many times we think it's one or the other. Guess what, folks? God can do anything that He wants. But do you remember He loves you? Even in your time of pain and suffering that you can't see or understand? You've got to put it down. In the book of Lamentations, you stand with me. I'm going to read to you. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to read this to you, and I don't want you looking around. I want you to just bow your heads for a moment. I want you to think about some of the things that you're struggling with. And I want you to hear this scripture verse. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. That's some of the most bitter and nasty things. So he's trying to describe the pressure and the pain and the suffering he's going through. He says, my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. He's exhausted. He doesn't know what to do with it. He can't get rid of it. And he can't get past it. But then he says, but this I call to mind. Therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. So therefore, I'll hope in Him. Folks, Satan's going to convince you that you can't do this. You know what? We can't do it on our own. But God has already accomplished it. The questions and the doubts that you're struggling with right now, He already has the answer. You know why? Because He's right there. At the end of it, waiting for you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you've been talking about Him. Maybe you've been learning about Him. But you never truly have accepted Him and surrendered your life and say, God, whatever You ask, whatever You want, I'm Yours. Have you confessed that sin? That as James said, draw near unto the Lord, and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. What is he talking about? It's time to repent. Do you realize that to have a restoration of a close relationship with the Lord, to walk with Him once again, all you got to do is just repent. It's just a prayer away. It's a sentence away to just repent and make it all right. Now you're probably thinking, as I do, thinking, Lord, I'm going to mess up again. I always seem to mess up. Well, guess what? You just come to the cross each time and you unload tomorrow. You start where you are. Don't worry and fret about whether you're not going to succeed tomorrow. Satan is just trying to get in the way to keep you from the victory that you can have in Christ. Can I reiterate what I said this morning? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of seeing God's people hurt and broken, when in reality, we have believers and Christians around the world suffering, being jailed, being martyred, watching their families being martyred in front of them, and all they have to do is to share joy and share the gospel of Christ with a determination and a strength that we only admire. Folks, it's time for us to live with that same power. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we have heard that your love shapes our future. Lord, we've had a lot of challenges in your word the last 3 weeks. A lot of truths that can change and transform us. But yet, Lord, if we don't surrender, we don't take that step of faith in trusting in you as our Savior, then this is all for nothing. The pain will continue. The confusion will continue. The regrets will just continue to pile up. And sadly enough, the day of judgment will just continue to bring terror to our souls. Lord, I'm asking if someone is not assured of their salvation today, that they'll clear that up before they leave. Lord, I pray for the believers that are here, walking in defeat, carrying a burden for way too long. Teach us to rest in you. Teach us how to seek you, not with our affections and desires, but to seek you with your heart. Lord, we need you to change us. We need you to cleanse us. We need you to shape our hearts and our minds that we may also be strong upon them. I pray that your convictions will be heavy on our hearts until we come home. Lord, we know that you'll be ready and how great of a reunion it will be. And I pray that each one will know that time of coming home. Lord, thank you for loving us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.